What is prayer? In many ways, prayer is a simple thing to do. But sometimes we can have a limited view of what prayer actually is. Now, don't get me wrong. Prayer is a means of supplication and making requests to God. It's just that prayer is also more than that. Prayer is both talking to God and having a relationship with Him. Prayer is making yourself available to God and allowing Him to make Himself available to you. Prayer is a way to ask God for provision for tomorrow and a means by which He provides the sustenance we need for today. So we pray not to get our own way, but rather we pray to align ourselves to God's will. We pray not for things that might create independence from God, but rather we pray as an expression of dependence upon God. Yes, God loves to hear our prayers and requests. He listens to them, He delights in them, and He responds to them. It's just that prayer is also where we can confess our sins, praise His goodness, listen to His voice, and be reminded of truth. Prayer isn't just a way to ask for more fruit, but through prayer, we begin to bear more fruit. Prayer isn't just words spoken at specific times during the day. It's living with a mindset that allows God to transform you throughout all of your days. So don't think of prayer as just an activity done before meals or bedtime, but rather, think of prayer as a way of life.
Would not probably be aware of this, but you will be in a second. The last 3 months or so, Spencer Grogan has actually been doing an internship with us as part of the Next Gen program, which is something that our conference offers to churches in our denomination. Part of the internship program that Spencer signed up for, one of the parts or pieces of that, was to give a sermon. So this morning, I've asked Spencer to share with us on the subject of prayer. Obviously, I don't need to introduce Spencer to you. You all know Spencer. He has served here in many ways over many years. So it was with great joy to be able to do this internship with Spencer the last couple months and to have him share this morning. He is such a fantastic communicator. He sent me this last week some stuff in regards to today and told me he was disappointed in the lack of feedback I gave him. I said, you didn't need a lot of feedback, Spencer. You nailed it in what you had sent to me. Just go and let God work through you as you share this morning. So, Spencer, I want to pray with you before you share this morning. We are just thrilled to have you a part of our church family and to be able to have you share with us this morning. Heavenly Father, I come to you and I thank you so much for Spencer. I thank you for his life. I thank you for his willingness to follow you and to serve you. Lord God, we pray that as he continues to study at Lancaster Bible College, that you will bless his efforts there. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to fine-tune Spencer into the person that you desire for him to be. Heavenly Father, we know that you have great plans in store for Spencer's life, and we just pray that that he will always be willing to follow those plans, those leads that you put in his path. Lord God, for this morning, I pray that you will just give Spencer the ability to speak clearly and to be the conduit of your Holy Spirit this morning to each one of us as we speak about this characteristic, this biblical characteristic of prayer that each one of us need to make sure is a part of our lives. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Him, he can just, well, he's an intern, so. So it's kind of been alluded, I don't even know why I'm up here. The video pretty much said everything I'm going to talk about today, so that was good. Good start for me, right? Today I want to talk about prayer. Now, here's a little fun fact about me. I'm not great in big group settings. Networking and things like that isn't necessarily my thing. I'm not good at going up and shaking hands and trying to make small talk. That's not for me. But there's one thing, without fail, that I can always find common ground with, and that's sports. Now, there's just something to me about watching a guy like Steph Curry dribble around five defenders and then shoot a 33-foot jump shot. There's something about watching Patrick Mahomes on a Sunday throw a 55-yard touchdown with the flick of a wrist. Now, to some of you, it looks like I'm speaking a foreign language right now. If I say that Sidney Crosby deking his way around defenders and shooting a slap shot into the upper 90 is a work of art, some of you nod right along with me. And some of you look like you're questioning why you came this morning. But I'm sure most of you, in one aspect or another, at some point in your lives have played a sport in any way, shape, or form, whether it just be pick up at the local park, or it be part of a high school team, or even an elementary school. And I'm sure the word fundamental is not foreign to you. And to be honest, it really shouldn't be. It's a fairly common word when we think about it. The definition of fundamental is to lay a solid base for something. So if we think about fundamentals in basketball, dribbling, passing, and things like that, I am going to argue that it's very much the same way with our faith. We can have fundamentals to our faith. Hey. Now, when we talk about these fundamentals, there's a ton of them, much like in basketball. But today I want to focus in on just one, and that one is prayer. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to pray because that makes sense. But one thing I want to lay on our hearts, I know there are a ton of prayer requests out there right now. There's a ton of things that we can be praying for. One that's really near and dear to my heart, and a lot of people that go to Lancaster Bible, I'm looking over at Jenna and Elena because they also go with me. Last Sunday, there was a big crash. There was an LCBC bus that crashed. I think as of Tuesday, there are still 8 that are in the hospital. So if we can just keep them in our prayers, and let's bow our heads in a time of prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ability to be here this morning, for the ability to gather together as a community of believers. Lord God, I pray that you are over this morning. I pray that it's not my words, but it's you through me. Lord God, I pray for those in the LCBC bus crash, those who are still in the hospital, that you can be over that healing process and that you can be over just that whole situation as it's unfolding, Lord God. I pray that you are there every step of the way. Lord God, I pray for this morning. I pray that it can be edifying. I pray that it can be a time that we all take things away from. And I just pray that you're over the entire journey. It's in your awesome name we pray. Amen. So point number one to fundamentals of faith, right? We've got to break this down a little bit. Number one is to pray constantly. Now, you might be already looking up here and thinking, Spencer, really? Constantly? Do you know how busy I am? Do you know all the things that I have to go through on a day-to-day basis? You expect me to carve more time out of my schedule to be with God? And the short answer to all of those wonderful questions that you've asked is yes, I do. I really do. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul is writing a letter to the church in Thessalonia. And during this time, there are some really unnerving things that are happening in this church. There's a few untimely deaths that are going on within the church, and it's just an overall unsettling time for the people that are within the church of Thessalonia. In the last chapter, chapter 5, Paul is essentially trying to summarize the will of God. Now, can you imagine this? In one chapter, Paul is trying to explain to a group of people who are a little unnerved. He's trying to explain the will of God. What a big thing to try to summarize. And in all of this, imagine trying to discern the different situations. How do I know the will of God in these unnerving times? In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, many of you perk up when I say this because you've known it since you were a little kid and you've heard it over and over again. It says, pray without ceasing. Keep on praying. Never stop praying. Be praying unceasingly. Be unceasing in prayer. Pray continually. How many translations do we need to know what Paul is trying to get at here? Pray without ceasing. In Luke 18, we get to see an incredible depiction of Jesus actually explaining to us the power of prayer. He does it in a parable, and it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time, he refused. But he finally said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they will get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Now, we don't have time to unpack all of that. That is a very big parable that Jesus gives us, especially that last line. Now, when will he find faith on earth? That's a whole other sermon that we could have one day. But instead, I want to focus in on this idea of prayer. Jesus is telling us here, think about this judge who doesn't fear God, who doesn't know God. This lady keeps coming to him and petitioning him, asking him, "Please, please, please have my way." And God, sure enough, Jesus makes the connection and he says, even though that ruler didn't know who God was, he still listened. God is very much the same way in this. God will listen to us if we come to him in prayer and petition. Praying without ceasing aligns us with God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. Colossians 4:2 tells us, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, there's just something about that word, devote. It's not passive. Paul in nothing, when he talks about prayer, he's not at all, "Pray when you feel like it. Pray-ish. Pray when it's good for you." No. He uses words like without stopping. He uses words like devote. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Pray continuously, not conveniently. So with that, we get to my second point. Pray trustingly and confidently. Now, if we're going to do this, God has such a funny way of convicting us in this when we do or we don't do this. And now, this is going to be a very shallow example, but hear me out, because we've all had some very similar to experiences like this, I'm sure. We can stand there, and we can stand before God, and we can say, "God, I want an Xbox." And then we ask him where it is. We expect it in that moment, every time, without fail. "God, I want bravery." And then all of a sudden, expect to go out and be the bravest person in the entire world. "God, I want wisdom." And then all of a sudden, shebang, a lightning bolt comes down, and all of a sudden, we are wise beyond our years. No, that's not how God works. We need to pray trustingly with God. Think about some of the promises that God made in the Bible and the amount of time that he took to answer some of them. I think about Abraham, who was promised to be the father of generations at 99 years old. In chapter 17 of Genesis, he was promised another son. Abraham almost laughed it off. I mean, he was 99. Sure enough, God delivered Abraham Isaac, and he wasn't able to live to see what would fully become of Israel, but he kept devoting himself to God's promises. I think somewhere I've heard or read that Abraham waited 25 years before even Isaac was delivered to him after that promise was made. Think about that amount of time. When we pray to God for bravery and we expect it right now, how much of an insult can that be? God says, "In my timing, not yours." We need to pray trustingly when we pray prayers like this. When you pray, I once again submit that you align yourself with God. You need to recognize that God listens. He listens to us. The God of this universe listens to you and me. In 1 John 5:13 through 15, it says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the same requests that we have asked from him." Now, 5:14, let's break this down for a second. 5:14 essentially says something very clear. It says to ask God according to his will means that Christians should pray in line with what the Bible teaches us about God and God's character and God's will for his people. And then 5:15 gives us that clarification to that statement, the resolution to these verses. It says, it's essentially stating that God hears our cries, and if we pray with this stature, God hears our requests. This means pray in faith, pray with patience, pray with obedience, and the knowledge that God knows what is best in all circumstances. My final point this morning is probably going to be one of the craziest things I'm going to say, and that's to pray dangerously. In light of everything else I've talked about, we need to pray authentically and outside of our spiritually safe bubbles. How often do we get in these? And we get locked down in these spiritually safe bubbles. Sometimes we just sit there in them. I know for me, I'm as guilty of this as anybody. My prayers can start to become, God, thank you for today. Thank you for the food you gave me. Billy Bob Joe down the street is sick. If you could be over that process, great. Thank you. Amen. And I leave it there. Every night, without fail, somehow it ends up becoming as mundane as that. It's just something that I go through the motions with. I'm here to posit that following Jesus, following God, was never meant to be safe. It was never meant to be comfortable. Praying dangerously is a big part of that. When Moses arrived at the Red Sea, I love this scene every time I read it in Exodus. It is one of the most beautiful writings of God and how God works in hard times throughout everything. Picture the scene. The Israelites are pinned literally between a rock and a hard place. They have the Red Sea on one side. They have the Egyptians coming down at them on the other. One of my favorite lines I've ever read in the Bible is the Israelites getting a little testy with Moses at this moment. They say, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die in the wilderness? First of all, bold. Bold statement. You've seen everything that Moses has done. You've seen how the Lord has worked through Moses. And you get to this point and you're like, man, I could have just died back in Egypt. I was fine being a slave. You brought me out here so I could die in the sand? Are you kidding me? This is what the provision was from God? Now, in this moment, Moses didn't say, okay, no, I got this. And he didn't go off and pray, and he was like, God, I'm kind of stuck. If you could help me out, that'd be great. Whatever you want, I mean, it's whatever good for you. No, he doesn't just mumble his way through a prayer and say, we'll figure it out. No, he says, fear not. Stand firm and see salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. I love this line. For the Egyptians whom you see today behind you, you will never see them again. That is trusting in God right there. That is praying a dangerous prayer. That is knowing that despite the adversity that you are currently sitting in, God is still over this process. Imagine that kind of dangerous prayer today. 1 Samuel 1:27 tells of people praying very personally and intimately for children. Matthew 6:11, it's a part of the Lord's Prayer, sees Jesus pleading to God for food and provision. Give us this day our daily bread. How about the prophet Isaiah? He's one of my favorite stories. If you haven't read about Isaiah or haven't read the book, I implore you to do so. But in Isaiah 6, we get a beautiful depiction of Isaiah having a conversation with God. And at this point, Isaiah has been brought into the presence of the Lord, his sins have been atoned, and we pick up in verse 8 where it says, and I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Now, I don't know what you think happens next, but I'm going to assume that God didn't just say, cool, and then let Isaiah be. No, God sent Isaiah. God worked through Isaiah. Isaiah was bold enough to stand there and say, here I am, send me. And God said, yes, and he sent him. He didn't just leave him be. He used Isaiah. Can you imagine praying a prayer like that today? Here I am, God, send me. Imagine what that could shake up in your life. Imagine the job that you might lose because God wants you on a different path. Imagine the friends that God might put in your past because God needs you around other people. Imagine the places that God will take you. I assure you, it's not always going to be here in Cleona, Pennsylvania. He is going to send you out of your spiritually safe bubbles where you can be and walk with Him closely. If you pray to God and ask Him to send you, you better be ready to go. If you pray to God and ask Him for more humility, you better be ready for God to humble you. If you pray to God and you ask Him for strength, you better be ready to go through some tough situations. Psalm 139 has what I think is one of the most dangerous prayers that we could potentially pray, especially in this day and age. At the very end of Psalm 139, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and lead and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Imagine genuinely asking this, not making this a part of some prayer that you're just reading. Imagine genuinely asking God for this. Asking God to seek out your anxious ways. Asking God to shake up any part of your life that isn't in line with Him. I assure you, He's going to do it, and it's probably not in a way you might like. We've seen a lot of change over these past 2 or so years at this point. I think we can all agree on that. How is God shaking things up in these moments? How is God seeking out your anxious thoughts? How is God working through you during this time? The long and short of praying dangerous prayers are meant to get you to a point where you're asking God essentially for a realignment. The content of your prayers tell you more about your relationship with God than you can possibly imagine. If you pray timid prayers, what are you telling God? You are putting God in a box. You're saying, "Here are the timid parts of my life that I need your help with. I hand that off to you." No, we're taught to give everything to God. We are taught to give God our whole being, our whole selves, everything that we have is to God. I saw it written down so beautifully once. "Lord, forgive me for picking up what I have already laid down at your feet." If we are to truly take this, if we are to truly pray dangerous prayers, we need to see that if we're only praying about ourselves, that means our relationship with God is all about ourselves. If we are praying only for others, that means we don't want God invested in our lives. We simply want Him invested in the lives of others. That guy's the sinner, all right? Not me. That guy. God, go work on that guy. I don't need you here right now. I'm good. Prayer needs to be something that we are making both personal with God as well as the world at large. Craig Rochelle has an entire book about this topic of dangerous prayers. I love it. I've read it. I'd highly recommend it if you're interested in reading more about a topic like this. And he has a little suggestion to kind of determine where you're at in your prayer life. He says, think of every prayer that you have prayed in the last 7 days. Don't think about your whole life, just the last 7 days, every prayer that you have prayed. Take those prayers and now imagine if God said yes to everything you asked for. How much different would the world be? Whether it be your world, the world at large, how much different would the world be? A big piece of this is being willing to hand everything over to God. That comes back to trusting God. That comes back to praying confidently and without ceasing. I'm as guilty of this as anyone else. I will selfishly say that God has enough on His plate. He doesn't need to help me through this one thing. He's got enough. He's got everything He can handle. I'll figure this out. So this brings us to our application to a certain extent. And it's a two-parter, so bear with me through both parts. I think sometimes the biggest thing we're guilty of when it comes to our faith is that we are not willing to pray and be willing to listen as well. I'm as guilty of this as anyone. I know I've said that a couple of times throughout this sermon, and that's because I am. Sometimes I am a great talker. I love to talk, but I do not always love to listen. And I think that's a piece of it for all of us. We're human, right? We don't necessarily like to hear the other side of it. We know our side. We're good with our side. And then we'll let it be for God, and God will figure it out. But we don't necessarily need to look for that. We already gave it to God. We're good. There's a story about a man who goes to the doctor. And he says to the doc, "Hey, doc, my wife's got a lot of pride. We've been married for 50 years. I love her to death. She's everything to me. But she's got one little problem. Her hearing's starting to give out on her." You know how it goes. As you get older, the hearing starts to go out. And he says, "What can I do? She has too much pride to come into the doctor and say anything about this. He doesn't know what to do for her." So the doc says, "This is a very simple thing here. So what we'll do is you'll go home, and it's a little at-home test. What you're going to do is when she's not looking at you, you're going to stand a certain distance away from her, and you're going to ask her a question, just at a normal voice." Now, some of you are taking notes, and you're saying, "Yes, I'm going to do this later already. I can see it," but no. Stand a distance away from her, ask her a question in a normal voice, and see if she answers. If she doesn't, step up, ask her the question. If she doesn't, step up, ask her the question until you get a response. So he says, "Yes, doc, this is great." He heads home. He's very excited to try this out. So finally, his wife is there. She's making dinner that night, right? So she's standing at the stove, not looking at him. So he stands about 20 feet away from her, and he says, hey, honey, what's for dinner?" Doesn't get a response. So he goes up to about 10 feet away from her, and he says, "Hey, honey, what's for dinner?" Once again, no response. And at this point, he's getting a little frustrated. He's thinking, "Man, she should have heard me by now. This is kind of ridiculous. What the heck is going on?" So he steps up so that he's right behind her, and he says, "Hey, honey, what's for dinner?" And she turns around, and she is visibly angry, and she says, "For the third time, chicken and potatoes." How much is this like our walk with God? How many questions, how many times can we yell to God? How many times can we put things on his plate and then we just don't look for his answers? We don't hear his answers because we aren't looking for his answers. If we are going to ask him for dangerous prayers, if we are going to pray to him trustingly and without ceasing, if all we do is talk and don't listen, what kind of prayer life is that? Psalm 103:2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his blessings." The second half to this is right in the same line with the first one, and it's to start today. And I mean today. I mean September 26th, 2021, start today. I understand it can be difficult to get into this habit. It can be a little daunting at times, too. But I assure you, once you do, it will fundamentally change your prayer walk, your spiritual walk. Like I said, I get it. It can be daunting. We all have that one friend that when we go out to dinner and they're asked to bless the food, we all know that one guy who takes it just a little too seriously, right? He gets there and he's like, "All right, yeah, you want me to give thanks? Yeah, all right. Dear Father God, we doth bless thee for the food and the provision that you have given us today." Right? Nobody talks like that. But sure enough, there's always that one friend that insists on praying like that. I'm guilty of that sometimes. Look, you don't have to pray that way. It's not that hard. God understands the way you communicate. He understands the voice that he has given you. I assure you that prayers are not meant to be difficult. Powerful prayers are prayers that are. Write in a prayer journal. Keep track of God's blessings. Pray continuously. Align yourself with God and trust him. Trust that he's big enough to take on anything you could possibly ask for him. Even your most crazy asks. God will see through and make sure that in his will, things will occur the way they're meant to occur. So even your most crazy asks, give it to God. God can't do anything for you if you don't let him in. So once again, I say, powerful prayers are prayers that are. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this morning. The ability to gather together as a group of believers. The ability to praise your name and the ability to be present. Lord God, I pray over everyone in this room. I pray over their spiritual walks. I pray over their prayer life with you. I hope that they can get to know you more intimately, better, stronger. They can grow in you with each passing day. Lord God, I pray that you are over every step of this process. You can seek out our hearts. You can know our anxious thoughts. You can bring us in closer to you so that way we can get to know you better. I just pray for this church. I pray for the people in it, and I pray for their faith and their walk with you. It's in your awesome name I pray. Amen.